The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
You've got Bradley Dean and Jake McMillan here with the Sons of Liberty. First off, if you'd like to know who we are, please go to sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. And find out who we are, what it is that we do, and if you really want to know, what we look like. On our website, you can also view our mission, our street team pictures, letters from famous people who like us, and of course, a few who don't. Also available are General of God tidbits, as well as a lot of links. And check out our online store for lots of cool stuff. Please also feel free to contact our office for more information on the ministry. Our phone number is 1-866-233-0747. That's 866-233-0747. If you'd like to download this radio program's podcast, they're available at sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's sonsoflibertyradio.com. If you'd like to receive our weekly radio updates via email, you'll be informed ahead of time as to who we'll be having on as a special guest and what topics we'll be discussing that week. Please email us at radio@youcanruninternational.com. That's radio@youcanruninternational.com. Once again, if you'd like to get a hold of us, please call 1-866-233-0747. That's 866-233-0747.
In Revelation 18:23, it says, "For by their sorceries were all nations deceived." The word sorcery means pharmakia, and pharmakia means the pharmaceutical companies. What you're going to hear today, I promise, you've never heard anything like this. One of our listeners sent this to me. I put this to you as a critic, but if you listen to it as a critic, I'd ask that you'd first listen to it with your heart, because it just might save your life or your friend's life.
I also just recently received a letter, and I don't like people reading me things, but this is so profound that I want to read you this letter that just came in to me. This is someone that heard about my lecture last year. Someone gave her a copy of it, and this is her story. She said, "I appreciate the opportunity to tell you my story. I recently had a major life change. This came about because of information that was passed on to me. It also came out because of encouragement from my family, friends, and because of my faith. Close to 11 years ago, I experienced some serious depression. I now recognize that it was most likely postpartum depression, since it began following the birth of my third child. The condition was serious enough to cause me to be unable to function normally. After a visit to the doctor, I came home with a prescription for Prozac. So what's new? This was the beginning of a 10-year nightmare. Almost immediately, within the first few days, I began having side effects such as hallucinations, hearing voices, and no relief from depression. I went back to the doctor, who now prescribed Paxil and Trazodone. Temporarily, it seemed to help with the depression, but I was a zombie all the time. I felt like I had a hangover every morning. With Paxil and all of the antidepressants I took from then on, I had what is called a withdrawal or wear-off effect. Basically, it is a withdrawal caused by the fact that my body soon adjusted to the dosage and then I would need a higher dosage. By the way, that's called addiction. Basically, it is a withdrawal caused by the fact that I had symptoms of electrical sensations throughout my body, shudders and a whoosh sound with every move, and a trailing when I moved or turned my head. This continued to increase until the doctor would change my medication and I would begin the cycle again. I began fluctuating between depression and hypomania. I started seeing a therapist. The therapist referred me to a psychiatrist. Now keep in mind, I hear this story every day, all day long in my office and have for 14 years straight. This is what people go through on these drugs. She put me on Zoloft next, starting with a fairly low dose. My initial diagnosis began as major depressive disorder, but soon became dysthymia or severe mood disorder. After trying different antidepressants like Effexor and Cerazone, now off the market due to the fact that it causes liver failure, and Wellbutrin, all of which gave me only temporary relief, she decided to try lithium because my symptoms had become like that of a bipolar patient. So now the diagnosis became bipolar 2 disorder, which is usually where you end up. My condition began to worsen. At this time, the doctor decided to experiment with different types of drugs, such as anti-seizure medications, like Topamax, Depakote, Lamictal, Neurontin. If you saw the Dateline expose on Neurontin last week, you'll understand. Antipsychotics like Risperdal, Seroquel, Zyprexa, all causing me to have a multitude of other side effects such as tremors, visual disturbances, anxiety, and nervous problems, for which I was prescribed benzodiazepines like Valium, Xanax, Klonopin. Guess what? I was more depressed. I was more ill than I had ever been in my life. Due to an inherent back problem, I have always, even as a teen, had back pain. Now my back pain was getting worse. The medications decreased my pain tolerance. I developed fibromyalgia. I became obsessed with illness and with pain. I gained an excessive amount of weight. I also began behaving impulsively, lost interest in relationships, and developed social phobias such as agoraphobia, fear of public places and not wanting to leave home. I would panic in crowds, break out in a sweat, collapse in terror. Of course, my children were suffering during this whole time because I was unable to provide nurturing. I could not feel joy or affection. I became obsessed with death. I can't tell you how many moms have told me they have not even been able to bond with their babies because of that lack of affection when they've been given these drugs. Such a tragedy. I didn't want anyone to touch me. I cried sometimes uncontrollably, but could never explain why. I felt hopeless. I felt like a burden to everyone. I spoke with slurred speech, couldn't find words, and had loss of memory. The tremors became so severe that I could no longer write a check or sign my name. This only led to more antisocial behavior and self-isolation. Every month I went to my doctor, each time my medication and dosage were changed. There was a point during the next 10 years that I realized the medication was making me sick, especially when I got lithium toxicity. My body was holding on to all fluid. I was bloated beyond recognition. My pupils were dilated, one more than the other. I started to get panicky and had constant nausea and severe headaches, along with other symptoms which alarmed my husband. And he called my doctor, who told me to stop taking the medication immediately. That's when I pull my hair and scream, yikes. This stopped the toxicity from progressing, but the immediate withdrawal caused me to crash into an even deeper depression. More medication without relief. More suicidal thoughts. Alcohol binges. During this whole time, my husband, family, and friends stood by me. I didn't know it. I didn't care. I even expressed hostility towards those who tried to reach out to me with their concerns.
The My War documentary is brought to you by the Sons of Liberty. In this documentary, you will see firsthand what happens when you teach the Constitution in public schools, how the media is lying to the American people, how our posterity is being lied to through indoctrination, and what it takes to bring about real change. You will also be brought back to the foundations of who we are as a people and receive insight into topics such as our founding fathers, abortion, the moral decline of our nation, and much more. Listen to a few responses from the nationwide premiere premiere screening of this documentary.
Absolutely fantastic.
I came all the way from Hollywood for this, and I want to say, you know, this is what is really going to break the back of the camel out there.
He didn't mess around with words. We need to be able to stand up as a society and say, enough is enough.
Everybody in America should see this.
If we don't speak the truth, they're not going to know the truth, and this is full of truth.
To order your copy of this documentary series, go to YouCanRunInternational.com. YouCanRunInternational.com or call 1-866-233-0747.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
I had no interests, no hobbies outside of the dark, morose, and depressing. My music, books, and movies that I watched all dealt with depressing subjects, especially death. I had total dissociation. I slept most of my days, but I had to take drugs to sleep at night. I had nightmares, if I even dreamt at all. I was always jittery and hypervigilant. I could not tolerate life and often called myself a vampire. I had to have throat surgery due to sleep apnea. Anyway, it goes on and on. Then finally she was released. She said my eyes were dead. I shook uncontrollably. She had been locked in a psych ward, had electric shock treatment, anti-seizure meds. She said I felt nothing. I just wanted to die. This is when it came to a climax. Then she went on and said an attempted suicide made for a second hospital stay. 2 weeks later, I was back in for another 8 days. Finally, back at home, my family searched for answers, looked for ways to help me. Good friends, Brian and Barb, they returned with help, an audio tape and a book by Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. The tape opened our eyes to the destruction of people's lives these drugs cause. I today know I have a disposition towards depression, but I am not bipolar. I am not psychotic. I do not have a borderline personality disorder. My mental and many physical disorders were caused primarily by the medication I was given by my doctors. I lost 10 years of my life. Today I have been completely free of my medications for 5 months. Although I still have some residual side effects, I am living my life again and enjoying it. I appreciate my friends who were there for me even though I didn't know it, and I especially thank my faith for giving me strength and courage to succeed. She said her husband feels like he's on a honeymoon, that he has his wife back. I read you that just so that you know that as dark and horrible as it can get on the drugs, there is a way back.
Dr. Ann Blake Tracy is the woman that just gave that message to you today. I hope it's an eye-opener. I actually just did a Google search on Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. You can talk to her or you can write to her. There's quite a few websites out on her. She has one on kids who kill on Prozac, and another one is The Whistleblower on Psychiatric Drugs Today. And if you remember right, the fatal day at school, September 25th, 2003 in Minnesota here, guess what the shooter was on? Arlington, Virginia. Our son Daniel was 12 years old when he hanged himself with a belt in his bedroom. On the night of October 27th, 2000, my husband and I found him dangling by his neck from a chin-up bar in the doorway between his bedroom and the bathroom. At first, I had difficulty grasping what had happened. His feet were only a few inches off the floor. It looked as if he could have lifted his neck off the belt by pulling on the bar above him. I found myself searching for some indication that this was some sort of prank. But when we freed his neck from the makeshift noose and eased his body onto the floor, his head hit the carpet with a heavy thud. His eyes were open, but he was motionless. Our son was dead. Our precious son was dead. The horror of that moment still lives within us. Panic rises in our throats. Whenever our minds begin to recreate the scene, we get a sick, grinding pain deep inside whenever we think of Daniel and all he missed by ending his life so young. After more than 3 years of grieving, we still cannot fully accept our loss. Daniel had seemed like a pretty normal kid. He was popular, good-looking, growing up with all the advantages of a well-educated middle-class family in Arlington, a comfortable suburb of Washington, D.C. Yet Daniel's father and I suspected our son was troubled in ways he wouldn't admit. He never threatened to harm himself, but he seemed depressed and sometimes agitated in the months leading up to his suicide. And even though we sought help for him, we failed to get him what he needed. Suicide among people is not uncommon, experts say. It is the third leading cause of death among people age 10 to 19 years old. Each year, about 1,600 American teenagers die by suicide, 1 million attempts, and 1 in 5 consider it. Our son's death was particularly shocking because he was so young. Only 60 to 70 preteens kill themselves in the United States each year. My husband Jim Kidney and I have chosen to share our story of Daniel's life and death as a cautionary tale for parents of all children, whether they appear to be troubled or not. Many child and teen suicides could be prevented, experts say, if parents and professionals were more attentive and better informed about what causes kids to take their lives. David Schaefer, a professor at Columbia University, a leading expert on the subject, cautions that child and teen suicides are not random events, as experts once thought. We know that it is nearly always a fatal complication of an untreated, mistreated, or an untreated condition, he says. Listen to what the doctor's saying. Although we will never know what Daniel was thinking when he put his neck into that noose, there is little doubt that he was misdiagnosed by a psychologist and his neurologist who were treating him for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, which is characterized by an inattentiveness, hyperactivity, and impulsive behavior. There is some evidence that the drugs he took for ADHD could have led to a suicide. Did I forget to mention that Daniel was only 12 years old? Houdini was the greatest escape artist in history. Several times he allowed himself to be bound in chains and cast into the sea, but instead of drowning, he would shed his chains and escape. One time, however, Houdini almost didn't make it. The incident took place in a small English town. Houdini had boasted that he could escape from any jail cell as long as he was allowed to wear his street clothes and to work in complete privacy. The people of this small English town were proud of their specially constructed jail cell, so they invited the famous Houdini to give it a try. Houdini arrived and much publicity and fanfare, which meant a lot of people showed up. The officials then led Houdini to the jail cell, shut the door behind him, and left the building. The master immediately went to work. He first extracted a long, tough steel shaft that he would use to unlock the door, but this time it didn't work. Why wouldn't the jail door open after about 2 hours? Houdini then became so exasperated and began sweating so hard that his confidence began to waver. After 3 hours, the master became so physically exhausted that he collapsed and fell up against the door. The door swung wide open. The officials had tricked Houdini into thinking that the door was locked when in truth it was not. The only place that prison door was locked was in Houdini's mind. He could not open that prison door because of his locked-in mentality. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28 through 30, he said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," of course to those that were in a repentant state. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Speaking of Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, those kids responsible for shooting up the school in Columbine, do you remember on the front cover of Time magazine, the picture of Dylan holding the gun in his hand? I don't want to try to vindicate what they did, but I do want to say this. Did you know that Dylan and Eric were so picked on in public schools that they used to walk around the school cafeteria to go to their next classes because they were so sick and tired of being bullied? Now, if you have bullies and you're a bully, I want to tell you something. Life is hard enough, so back off. Life is hard enough, and there's a lot of kids out there, and there's a lot of people that don't have families. They don't have dads. They don't have moms. We don't know what they're going through. So what we need to do is we need to be a friend to them and love them in truth. Have you ever seen the games that these two kids were playing before they shot up the school? There's games out there now called Grand Theft Auto where you can actually steal a car, rape a woman. There's games out there teaching kids how to commit violence and to kill. Now there's a game out there even called JFK Reloaded. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the United States only, you can actually go online and if you can shoot President John F. Kennedy's head off, you can win yourself $10,000. What is America becoming that we fall for this mentality? I have to say, we're not falling for it because there's people standing up and saying that's enough. Companies across this country said no to this game and they ostracized it. They kicked it out. They said, we're not selling that game here. I recently wrote a book called The Grass Doesn't Work, The Rocks Do. There's a little boy up in an old man's orchard tree stealing apples from an old man. As the old man walks over to the tree and looks at the boy stealing apples, he says to him, I want you to get out of my tree. The little boy looks at him, takes a bite of an apple, swishes it around in his mouth and says, I don't have to. The old man gets really mad within himself, bends over, grabs a handful of grass and threw it at the boy in hopes to get him out of the tree. Well, this just encouraged the little boy all the more, so he grabs another apple, takes another bite, swishes it around in his mouth, and as he does that, he laughs at the old man, thinking, you were going to get me out of the tree with grass? The old man said, listen, if the grass doesn't work, the rocks will. He said, with all the virtue within myself, I'll get that little boy out of the tree. He bends over, picks up some rocks, and starts to pelt the little boy. The little boy jumps out of the tree, imploring the old man's forgiveness. What's the moral of the story? If good words and gentle means will not reclaim those that are in the trees of disobedience, then I need to pick up some rocks to get you out. Now, what was I taught while in the trees of disobedience? Grass was thrown at me with soft words, exchanging truth and absolutes for a false peace. Counseling and rehabilitation, leaving off discipline. Telling me I was sick instead of making bad choices as I was the one breaking the law. Then masking the problems by trying to put me on some babysitter drugs known as antidepressants. Now, for those that didn't know, ADHD has never been proven. Dr. Edward C. Hamlin, a founding member of the Royal College of General Practitioners in 1998, said, ADHD is fraud intended to justify starting children on a life of drug addictions.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before market, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. Or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM at sonsoflibertyteam.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood-use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
What we used to do is we used to chastise or spank our kids because we love them, and now there are those that just put their kids on antidepressants. They just recently did a test in Wisconsin within the last couple of years. They found that when they took the pop machines out of the public schools and fed them healthy foods such as fruit and vegetables during lunch, they had a completely different school within a week. What they found with these antidepressants is they're also linked to suicide, strange behavior, murder. For example, Kip Kinkle, 14, killed his parents and went on a shooting spree at his high school in Springfield, Oregon, killing 2 and injuring 22. He took Prozac. Jeff Weiss, 17, from Red Lake, Minnesota, killed 9 people and then himself. He was on Prozac. Eric Harris, 18, from Columbine High School, shot 12 fellow students and a teacher. He had been taking Luvox. T.J. Solomon, a 15-year-old wound 6 at a Heritage High School in Conveyors, Georgia. He was on Ritalin. Chris Pittman shot and killed his grandparents at close range and then set their house on fire. He was on Zoloft. Jason Hoffman, at age 18, wounded 1 teacher, 3 students at Granite High School. He was on Effexor and Celexia. Charles Andy Williams, 15, killed 2 classmates and wounded 13 other people in a shooting spree at Santana High School. He was on Zoloft and Celexia. Corey Badsgaard, 16, took 23 classmates and a teacher hostage at his Washington State High School. He was on Effexor. Elizabeth Bush, 14, shot at fellow students in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, wounding 1. She was on Prozac. Bradley Voorhees shoots his wife 21 times and tells me, "Bradley, I didn't know what I was doing. He just got his Prozac prescription doubled." The list goes on and on and on, folks. They even came to terms with it, because when you see antidepressants, you look at the box, they have them on their black box. They'll tell you that these drugs are very dangerous. Pharmaceutical companies spend more on marketing and promotion of drugs than on research and development. An estimated 15,000 to 20,000 on every doctor, with the expenditures of $8.3 billion in the United States in 1998 alone. Here's some of the packet insert says in the other adverse events observed during the pre-marketing evaluation of some of these drugs that the following reaction has occurred. Confusion, depersonalization, hallucinations, hostility, manic reaction, suicidal ideation, loss of consciousness, delusions, feeling drunk, alcohol abuse, homicidal ideation. These pharmaceutical companies who market these drugs know about these adverse reactions before they even push the drug on the market and prescribe them to the masses. I want you to listen to this commercial. It's not being played to be funny. It's really the truth.
If you're dealing with the pain of chapped elbows, find freedom with Flarinex.
Warning, side effects include dry mouth, headache, nausea, bloating, cramping, baldness, loss of vision or hearing, sterility, vertigo, irregular bowel movements, and ability to control them. Gangrene, paralysis, osteoporosis, lowered immunity, leprosy, brain damage, internal bleeding. If you're pregnant or nursing or know someone who is, or if you work closely with chemicals, wood, paper, or computers. If your family has a history of cancer, alcoholism, or old age. If you live alone. If you own a car or truck. If you do not live alone. If you are taking other medications such as acetaminophen or ibuprofen, consult your doctor to see if Flarinex is right for you.
Flarinex. Freedom from dry chapped elbows.
It's also interesting to note that doctors get a kickback by putting your kids on antidepressants. Folks, it's time to stand up and say that's enough.
I am a member of the upcoming generation, the one after Generation X, that has not yet been given a name. So far, it appears that most people are rallying behind the idea of calling us Generation Next. I believe I know why.
The older generations are hoping we will mindlessly assume our place as the next in line. That way, they won't have to explain why my generation has had to experience so much pain and heartache. What heartache, you say? Don't you know that you have grown up in a time of great prosperity? Yeah, we know that. Believe me, it has been drilled into our heads since birth. Unfortunately, the pain and hurt I speak of can't be reconciled with money. You have tried for years to buy us happiness, but it is only temporary. Money isn't the answer. And it is time for people to begin admitting their guilt for failing my generation.
I will admit that I wasn't planning to write this. I was going to tuck it away in some corner of my mind and fall victim to your whole next mentality. But after the massacre in Littleton, Colorado, I realized that as a member of this generation that kills without remorse, I had a duty to challenge all of my elders to explain why they have allowed things to become so bad.
Let me tell you this. These questions don't represent only me, but a whole generation that is struggling to grow up and make sense of this world. We all have questions, we all want explanations. People may label us Generation Next, but we are more appropriately Generation Y. Why did most of you lie when you made the vow of till death do us part? Why do you fool yourselves into believing that divorce really is better for the kids in the long run? Why do so many of you divorced parents spend more time with your new boyfriend or girlfriend than with your own children? Why did you ever fall victim to the notion that kids are just as well off being raised by a complete stranger at a daycare center than by their own mother or father? Why do you look down on parents who decide to quit work and stay home to raise their children? Why does the television do most of the talking at family meals? Why is work more important than your own family? Why is money regarded as more important than relationships? Why is quality time generally no longer than a 5 to 10 minute conversation each day?
Why do you try to make up for the lack of time you spend with us by giving us more and more material objects that we really don't need? Why does your work in the form of a cell phone, laptop, computer, etc. always come with us on vacations? Why have you neglected to teach us values and morals? Why haven't you lived moral lives that we could model our own after? Why isn't religion one of the most important words in our household? Why do you play God when it comes to abortion?
Why don't you have enough faith in us to teach us abstinence rather than safe sex? Why are you so afraid to tell us no sometimes?
Why do you allow us to watch violent movies but expect us to maintain some type of childlike innocence? Why do you allow us to spend unlimited amounts of time on the internet but still are shocked about our knowledge of how to build bombs? Why is it so hard for you to realize that school shootings and other violent juvenile behavior result from a lack of your attention more than anything else?
Call us Generation Next if you want to, but I think you will be surprised at how we will fail to fit into your neat little category. These questions should and will be asked of the generations that have failed us. You have pursued your selfish desires for years, but now it is time to reap what you have sown. Some rude awakenings like the Littleton Massacre have occurred and probably will continue until you begin to answer our questions and make the drastic changes to put us, your kids, first. Time is running out. For in just a few short years, we will be grown, and it will be too late. You might not think we are worth it, but I can guarantee you that Littleton will look like a drop in the bucket compared to what might occur when a Generation Y comes to power.
If you've ever heard of a program called No Child Left Behind, guess who's behind the curriculum in No Child Left Behind? Mr. Mikhail Gorbachev, the ex-dictator of Russia. Why is the Russian ex-dictator writing the curriculum for public schools in America? What are the topics taught? Number one, earth worship. Number two is evolution. By the way, that used to be illegal in this country. Number three, socialized medicine. Number four, world government. Number five, animal rights, where animals are seen as brothers and sisters. Number six, redistribution of American wealth to other nations. Number seven, contraception and reproductive health, legal abortion. Number eight is debt forgiveness for third world nations. Number nine, adoption of the gay rights agenda. Number 10, elimination of the right to bear arms. Number 11, setting aside massive amounts of private land where no human presence is allowed. Now, what is the media pushing on you every day of the week? These exact topics. So it's not just children in public schools that are being taught No Child Left Behind, but you're getting it through the media daily. It's communism. And speaking of one of the topics, evolution, that's pushed on the American youth in this country, there was a little six-year-old girl one day sitting in the classroom. The teacher was going to explain evolution to the children. The teacher asked a little boy, "Tommy, do you see the tree outside?" Tommy said, "Yes." Teacher asked, "Tommy, do you see the grass outside?" Tommy said, "Yes." Teacher stated, "Go outside and look up and see if you can see the sky." He returned a few minutes later. "Yes, I saw the sky." "Teacher, did you see God?" Tommy said, "No." Teacher said, "That's my point. We can't see God because he isn't there. He just simply does not exist." A little girl spoke up and wanted to ask the boy some questions. "Tommy, do you see the tree?" Tommy said, "Yes." The little girl said, "Tommy, do you see the grass outside?" Tommy said, "Yes." Getting tired of answering the same questions, the little girl said, "Did you see the sky?" Tommy said, "Yes." "Tommy, do you see the teacher?" Tommy said, "Yes." "Do you see her brain?" Tommy said, "No, I don't see her brain." The little girl said, "Then according to what we were taught today in school, she must not have one." What of the National Education Association? It is responsible for setting the agenda for our children in public schools. The National Education Association is in a coalition with the American Humanist Association. Quote, unquote, "The Bible is an incredibly dangerous book. The battle for humankind's future must be waged and won in the public classroom by teachers who correctly perceive their role as the proselytizers or converters of a new faith. The classroom must and will become an arena of conflict between the old and the new. The rotting corpse of Christianity, together with all its adjacent evils and misery, and the new faith of humanism." The NEA overwhelmingly passed a resolution B10 endorsing gay marriages and adoptions in states where they're legal. By the way, folks, it's legal nowhere under our Constitution. The NEA recommended that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender issues be required content for teacher credentials. Teachers would be forced to undergo sensitivity training concerning homosexuality before they could be certified to teach. The NEA voted to replace the word tolerance towards homosexuality with acceptance and respect in union policies. The NEA is saying that tolerance of the homosexual lifestyle isn't enough, that homosexuality must be accepted and respected. Andy Limbaugh, a spokesman for the NEA, told Cybercast News Service that leadership of the NEA has no interest in advancing a position on same-sex marriage. But yet the NEA was a signatory on a letter to the U.S. senators strongly opposing the federal marriage amendment. The NEA opposed the constitutional amendment making marriage legal only between one man and one woman.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. All we do is made possible by the generosity of supporters like you. If you have not partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of Liberty. And with a tax-deductible gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a special Sons of Liberty message. Call 1-866-233-0747, 1-866-233-0747, or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
I wanted to say thank you to you guys, Bradley and Jake, for what you guys do. It's an awesome campaign that you guys are getting people active and putting boots on the ground. You guys actually prod Americans to do something about the problem. So I just wanted to say I appreciate the radio show, Sons of Liberty, and hopefully you guys continue for many more years to come and we can make a better America for our posterity. So thanks, you guys.
Become a son or daughter of Liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The NEA refused to pass an amendment, I-24, designed to protect students against sexual misconduct by teachers. The amendment read, "To protect the rights of all the students, the association believes sexual contact between education professionals and minor students is unacceptable." Yet, the NEA refused to pass the amendment and referred it back to the Resolutions Committee. Many feel that the NEA refused to pass the amendment in order to protect teachers who have had sex with their students. That would be your kids. Let me take it a step further. Kevin Jennings is the founder of the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, which pushes so-called anti-bullying policies, which even the GLSEN admits are really about promoting affirmation of homosexual behavior in the school system. Jennings is intolerant of the religious right, 90% of whom enroll their children in public schools, and said, out of his own mouth, "I'm not trying to say F them. I don't care what they think. Drop dead." Having written the foreword to a book entitled Queering Elementary Education, in 2004 he said, "Ex-gay messages have no place in our nation's public schools." Fact. It's against the law in this country, America. By his own admission, he failed his legal duty to report what he believed to be a case of statutory rape when a young student approached him for counsel after the boy had been preyed on by an older adult in a local bus station bathroom. Jennings' main piece of advice to the boy was, "I hope you know how to use a condom." Kevin Jennings is an open homosexual who is now serving the Department of Education as Obama's safe and drug-free school czar.
If there's one thing that really gets me going, it's hearing all these stories about these different kids that are on antidepressants. At fundraisers, we meet kids all the time who are suicidal or who have attempted suicide. And the question I always ask them is, are you taking any medications? Are you on any antidepressants? And almost every single time, their answer will be yes. But it doesn't really seem to affect people until something like this hits home. And it did with me. I had a friend named Ryan. We would hang out practically every day. He started going out with this girl that he started to like a lot. And they ended up breaking up after a couple of months, and it really broke his heart. During all this, somewhere, they started putting him on medications. He started to have blackouts where he wouldn't remember what he would do. But the worst thing that ever happened was he was staying at his uncle's house, and his uncle actually had a construction company. And he was downstairs in the basement, and he actually had one of his so-called blackouts, and he took a nail gun and shot himself through the eye. He was found later on by the cops outside in the middle of winter, underdressed, holding his eye, not remembering anything. They ended up putting him in the mental hospital, where they were telling him things like he probably had multiple personalities and all this other junk. A couple of months later, I was driving down the road, and I saw this kid walking with a patch on his eye. I stopped and said, "Ryan?" And it was him. I never would have thought it was him because of the fact that he gained so much weight, which is a side effect from these medications. He ended up getting in my car, and I gave him a ride to the bank and then home. He once again was a totally different person in the car. It was actually scary driving with him by myself. I dropped him off, and once again I was thinking to myself the same question I'd asked before. How did this come to this? How did a person who was just a normal kid who liked to have fun change into a kid who was one of those crazy people that you see walking down the side of the street? About a month later, I actually started finding out about the whole antidepressant scene. I called up Ryan, and sure enough, they had him on a couple of medications. Now the whole situation totally makes sense.
Father, I have a problem. It's weighing heavy on me, and it's all I can think about both night and day. Before I bring it to you in prayer, I suppose I should pray for those who are less fortunate than me, those in the world who have hardly enough food for this day, and for those who don't even have a roof over their heads at night. I also pray for families who have lost loved ones in sudden death, for parents whose children have leukemia, for the many people who are dying of brain tumors, for the hundreds of thousands who are laid waste with other terrible cancers, for people whose bodies have been suddenly shattered in car wrecks, for those who are lying in hospital with agonies burns over their bodies, whose faces have been burned beyond recognition. I pray for people with emphysema, whose eyes fill with terror as they struggle for every breath merely to live. For those who are tormented beyond words by irrational fears. For the elderly who are racked with pains of aging, whose only escape is death. I pray for people who are watching their loved ones fade before their eyes through the grief of Alzheimer's disease. For the many thousands who are suffering the agony of AIDS. For those who are in such despair that they are about to commit suicide. For people who are tormented by the demons of alcohol and drug addiction. I pray for children who have been abandoned by their parents, for those who are sexually abused, for wives held in quiet despair, beaten and abused by cruel and drunken husbands, for people whose minds have been destroyed by mental disorders, for those who have lost everything in floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, and earthquakes. I pray for the blind who never see the faces of the ones they love, or the beauty of a sunrise, for those whose bodies are horribly deformed by painful arthritis, for the many whose lives will be taken from them today by murderers, for those wasting away on their deathbeds in hospitals. Most of all, I cry out for the millions who make the fatal error of thinking that you won't punish murderers, rapists, thieves, liars, fornicators, and blasphemers. For those who don't know that you consider lust to be adultery and hatred to be murder, I pray for those who refuse to repent and trust Jesus Christ, the one who took our punishment and rose from the dead. For those who will be swept into hell by the cold hand of death and find to their utter horror the unspeakable vengeance of eternal fire. May they repent, obey your word, and come to know you, to whom is life eternal. Oh God, I pray for them. Strange, I can't seem to remember what my problem was. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There was a young boy who sought out a godly man who took him to a river. After wading in the water, the boy allowed this gentle-speaking godly man to lower him beneath its surface, thinking that he was going to be baptized. However, he surprisingly felt his hand tense and hold him under the water. He struggled as a sense of panic began to grip his mind. No matter how hard he battled, the strong arms of this godly man held him under the cold water. Adrenaline pumped through his terrified body. He must get air or die. Suddenly, the man let go and he burst through the water's surface.
He couldn't understand why this godly man would do such a senseless thing to him. The godly man raised his hand to calm him and said, "When you yearn for God as much as you craved for oxygen, then you'll find him." Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, rightly said, "Do you think you're going to be carried to heaven on a feather bed? Have you got a notion in your heads that the road to paradise is all lawn, the grass smoothly mown, still waters and green pastures ever and anon to cheer you? You have just got to clear your heads of that deceitful fancy. The way to heaven is uphill and downhill, uphill with difficulty, downhill with trials. It is through fire and through water, through flood and through flame, by the lions and by the leopards. Through the very mouths of dragons is the path to paradise. But the man who finds it so and who desperately resolves in the strength of God to tread that path, nay, who does not resolve as if he could do nothing else but resolve, but who feels driven as if with a hurricane behind him to go into the right road, this man is never unsuccessful, never. Where God has given a violent anxiety for salvation, he never disappoints it. No soul that has ever cried for it with a violent cry has been disappointed. From the beginning of creation until now, there has never been raised to the throne of God a violent and earnest prayer which missed its answer. Go, soul, in the strong confidence that if thou goest earnestly, thou goest successfully. God may sooner deny himself than deny the request of an earnest man. Our God may sooner cease to be the Lord God, gracious and merciful, than cease to bless the men who seek the gates of heaven with the violence of faith and prayer. Now, I got a picture in front of me of my little boy, and this little baby's got more chins than the Chinese phone book. Then I got another picture pulled up where my little boy's hair's all the way down the middle of his back. And we used to walk through the Mall of America. And when I'd hold his hand walking through the Mall of America, girls used to walk up to him and look at him and say, "She is so beautiful." And he used to get so mad, and he'd look up at me and say, "Dad, tell him I'm not a girl." So I'd look at him and say, "He's not a little girl." So we went and got his hair cut off, and he had a little surfer cut. The reason I tell you that is one day we were driving around Lake Harriet in Minneapolis. Now, as my little boy was sitting on my lap, I noticed my leg was getting wet. And it wasn't me that peed my pants. It was my little boy peeing in his pants, and it leaked onto my leg. So we pulled over on the side of the lake, and I said, "Don't you go nowhere. You listen to what Daddy has to say." Well, my little boy that day thought it would be really cute to ignore what his dad said. He ran behind the car, and he ran right in front of a van. The van stopped, and about 2 seconds and 2 inches later, my little boy would have got killed by that van. I went over, picked up my little boy, spanked his butt really hard, and I said, "I love you so much. Don't you ever do that again." The moral of the story is, if he doesn't understand what no means the first time, the second van might not stop, and it'll cost him his life. I have a picture of my wife up here as well, who was pregnant with a little boy inside of her womb while we did 100 high school assemblies across the nation. I don't know how she did it, but God gave her the strength to do it. So he was born, and he's a little pudge, and he's got more chins than the Chinese phone book as well. And the reason I do what I do, and the reason you're listening to me right now, is because I'm conveying to you what nobody ever told me. I'm trying to say, you're somebody's baby too. And if you're asking yourself the question as to where is the hope, a lot of truth and a lot of light has been given you today. What are you going to do with it? That's where the hope is at.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.